Well, I don't know if this talk will be so memorable for that it needs to be recorded for posterity, but in case it does, it'll be there. In Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, a book you presumably all have looked at, there's a chapter called Single-Minded Way. And in that chapter, Suzuki Roshi says, even if the sun were to rise in the west, the bodhisattva has only one way. I have to admit, Dave, he somehow got bumped away. So even if the sun were to rise in the west, the bodhisattva only has one way. I bring this phrase up because this past year, I feel, and even our present reality right now, is a reality like as close as I can have experienced in my life to the sun rising in the west. The dislocations, the disorientation of this year have been extreme. For those that have unfortunately contracted this terrible virus, there has been disease, there has been disability, continuing disability for some people who contracted the disease and got well from it. And of course, so many people have died. An unimaginable number of people have died. And this continues, you know, as we speak on a daily basis. And even for those of us that haven't, you know, gotten sick, it's been a really upside down year, because, you know, we haven't been able to be close to each other. We haven't been able to gather, even with the people that we are, you know, good friends with and close to. We have not been able to hug. We've not been able to hold hands. We've not been able to do so many things that are just, that usually make our life happy and fulfilled and meaningful. To be with our friends and be with other people in person and laugh together and joke together and just find out how each other is doing. And we haven't been able to do that, you know, except in this kind of, you know, remote format. So it's been a really difficult, disorienting year. And it's almost like our new normal is every day the sun rising in the west. And it, you know, it's almost like we start to forget to how we could imagine being together, you know, how we've lost like our imagination of how we could do that. And like sometimes I see somehow they put a lot of things on movies and so forth. I guess they made the movies a long time ago and the people aren't, you know, wearing masks. And I've had the reaction of like thinking, what are they doing? You know, they're so close and they're not wearing masks. You know, so this has been very disorienting. And, but hopefully we don't, you know, we can remember how to be together when that time comes, which you know, thankfully, it seems that that time is not here, of course, and still a lot of suffering between now and then for our country and the world. But hopefully, we're on a trajectory that will bring that to an end. So Suzuki Roshi says, the Bodhisattva's way in any time, including this time, is, he calls it, the single-minded way. Or he also says, one railway track 1,000 miles long. And he means by that, that regardless of external conditions, the Bodhisattva lives the Bodhisattva's way of life. The Bodhisattva is endeavoring to live from true nature, live sincerely, live authentically, regardless of what the conditions are. It doesn't mean that bodhisattvas, enlightening beings, all of us, baby bodhisattvas, are free of conditions. It doesn't mean that we somehow are exempt from conditions. But even within adverse conditions, we still cleave to the Bodhisattva way. I don't know what the Bodhisattva way is for you. It won't be always the same for each person. And it doesn't even need to have the label of Bodhisattva way, Bodhisattva's life, although sometimes I think it's actually helpful to remember that what we're doing, or to ask ourselves, is the way I'm walking down the street right now, how does that comport with the Bodhisattva's way of life? The way I'm sitting right now, how does that comport with the Bodhisattva's, whatever I think the Bodhisattva's way of life is? I'm just checking myself out. The way I'm walking down this street, is the way I'm walking down the street helpful to other people? Is it helpful to me? Am I thinking of it that way with each step as I go? Or at least remembering once in a while, how am I walking down this street? And if other beings see me walk down this street, will they be encouraged or not? I'd like them to be encouraged by my walking down the street. And maybe the way I greet them or interact with them. So, but you know, Bodhisattva's way, I mean, right now, you're doing Bodhisattva work, a really simple Bodhisattva work everybody's doing right now is staying healthy. You're doing that work right now. You're doing the things that are keeping you healthy. And you're adhering to, you know, the protocols and the distancing and the masks and the not gathering inside and so forth. We're all doing that. And that right now, that's part of the way the Bodhisattvas are acting right now. That's the way we're manifesting right now. We're staying healthy. And by doing that, just by that simple act, we're helping the healthcare profession, we're helping you know, other people that we're not infecting, we're setting an example, and so on. So it's pretty simple, you know, some of the things that we can do to be actualizing our bodhisattva vow. And sometimes, of course, we may actualize it by taking care of somebody else. We're doing a lot to take care of ourselves right now, but we also may actualize our vow by taking care of somebody else. That's one of the possibilities. We may actualize our vow by asking for what we need from others. That could be another way. We could actualize our vow by responding to someone else's request that we do something, that we act or, you know, take care of things in a certain way. So I don't know how you're actualizing your vows, but there are many ways to do it. I do know that. And they aren't, aren't all great heroic actions. They're just being careful in day-to-day actions, being careful and kind and considerate and listening to others and listening to ourselves. According to our tradition, all sentient beings have true nature, awakened nature, but not everyone realizes it or is conscious of it. Our practice can be said to be attuned to our true nature and sincerely practice in accord with it. This is what I think Suzuki Roshi means when he says one railway track 1,000 miles long, to be in accord, attuned to what our true nature is asking of us and practice sincerely on that basis. In the chapter that I'm quoting from, Suzuki Roshi says, we say railway track, but actually there is not such a thing. Sincerity itself is the railway track. The sights we see from the train will change, but we are always running on the same track. There is no beginning or end to the track. There is no starting point, no goal, nothing to attain. Just to run on the track is our way. This is the nature of our Zen practice. Recently, someone sent me a poem by the Chinese, medieval Chinese poet who goes by the name of Stonehouse. And this poem captures, I think, the way that a bodhisattva meets adverse, well, it speaks to at least, it speaks to how bodhisattvas meet adverse conditions. So the poem is this. Don't think a mountain home means you're free. A day doesn't pass without its cares. Old ladies steal my bamboo shoots. boys lead oxen into the wheat. Grubs and beetles destroy my greens. Boars and squirrels devour the rice. Things don't always go my way. What can I do but turn to myself? So the images in that poem, you know, they're from an olden time, right? We don't really have too much problems with, you know, boys leading oxen into the wheat or boars and squirrels devouring the rice. At least that's not, for us city dwellers, a big problem. But that's not the point. The point is that he's talking about what's it like when we can't control external conditions. And that's really, to me, been the teaching of this past year, is because this past year has stolen from us. It's destroyed. It's devoured. It's done all those things. And still, we go on. So what I thought we would do tonight is, you know, in small groups, just, you know, talk together about, you know, what has kept us going this past year? How are we coping? How have we been coping? What kinds of things have we been doing? And in what ways has practice played into that? You know, in what way are we turning to ourselves and finding solace in our practice? What way are we finding meaning and getting through these difficult months that we've been through and that we will, most of us will continue to be subject to for, well, we don't know how long, right? But we know it's still going to be a while. So looking back, and also, you know, what are your hopes? What are your hopes, and how do you see this changing for you, and what are your hopes for this coming year? So this is kind of a New Year's reflection, and in light of a bodhisattva who, according to Suzuki Roshi, just has one way, regardless of conditions, or maybe not regardless, that's probably wrong. It's more like there are conditions. There are conditions. And how are we responding in the midst of those conditions? How are we living? How are we meeting it? Because there are conditions, and the conditions are real.